Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hi, this is James Pumphrey from Pass Gas by Donut, the number one automotive podcast in the country. It's kind of like hanging out with your friends in the garage, listening to a great story from automotive history. This week, we're talking about Datsun. How are the histories of Datsun and Nissan intertwined? How did Yoshisuke Akawa's leadership turn Japan into an automotive manufacturing powerhouse? How did Mr. K revolutionize automotive advertising and bring prestige and recognition to Nissan and Datsun worldwide? This week on Pass Gas, the first in our two-part series on Datsun.
I want to try something with this episode.
All right.
Because it's the GTR part two. And I think it's about time that another GTR gets a part two. And by that, I mean get her done. Because GTR spells Gitter.
Okay.
So I think, like, I'm going to set a goal. Let's do a little tally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Nolan's going to take care of most of the information part, and Joe and I are just here to mess with him. So, Joe, I'm going to challenge you and myself to say Gitter done 20 times in this episode.
Oh, my God.
Not each. Together. Combined.
Okay.
Gitter done. But only when it's appropriate. Like, we can't force
it in.
Squeeze
it in. Yeah. Like,
get her done.
There you go. Joe, would you like to practice your get her done?
Get her done.
Get her done. Okay. Little Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah, he's still in the zeitgeist, right?
Yeah, I bet that guy's a friggin' bajillionaire.
Oh, yeah. 1,000,000%.
He doesn't have an accent. He's from, like, Nebraska, and he doesn't have a real accent.
Is that true?
Yeah.
He was an actor.
What a genius.
Yeah.
When we first started doing shows at Donut, some people found out that, like, I used to be an actor.
Yeah.
And they were like, what is James? Does James even like cars? Yeah. Is he just, like, pretending? I wish, in hindsight, I would have made up
a
God, thing. That would've been so funny.
Like, if I just, like, talk like this all the time. And it's just like, this is everything you need to know to get up to speed on Miata.
Honestly, I bet we would have, like, 1,000,000 more subscribers by now.
Probably. Yeah. Man, I really dropped the ball
on that one. I'm here, Nolan Sykes here with James Pumphrey.
Welcome back to the Pass Gas Podcast.
And Mr. Joe Weber.
Thanks for having me.
This is part two of our two-part series on the Nissan GTR.
Get her done.
Oh, there's one.
Pass Gas Podcast. It's about cars, it's not about ports.
Hey guys, welcome to the Pass Gas Podcast. If you like Pass Gas, please help us grow by giving us a good rating and a nice review on the podcast platform of your choice. It'll really help us out, and I really appreciate that. So thank you. All right, now for the show.
And 20 is a minimum or maximum?
20 is the goal.
Okay.
I mean, if we can do 60, it'll ruin the podcast.
Boy, okay. When we left off last week, the R32 GTR's reign as the king of Group A had ended with one of the most controversial finishes in Australian Touring Car Championship history. The following rule changes heavily favored home favorite manufacturers Holden and Ford over the Japanese Nissans, but instead of giving up completely, the GTR team regrouped and refocused.
Would you say that they were trying to get her done.
Oh, no. That's how we're going to do it? Okay.
No, I regret that.
The GTR team was now led by Kozo Watanabe. And
is that the any relation to Watanabe wheels?
No idea. So, sorry.
I'm going to look it up later.
And frankly, James, there wasn't a better man for the job. Remember that Japanese Grand Prix back in the 60s where, I mean, the whole reason this car exists?
I do.
Okay. Well, a young Kozo was at the very first one and saw the old Prince cars get defeated by the British and Italian race cars. It was almost by destiny that he lead the GTR team. The team wanted to address two main performance criteria. Number one, understeer. That's when, you know, you turn your wheel and
you go straight.
Yeah, you don't turn as well as you think.
It's the opposite of drifting.
Exactly. And two, stiffness. I really wish we had that a soundboard, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Boing. Boing.
In regards to the second
part. Or like, you know, those like spring things that are in the wall. Like that would be a great
best noise ever.
Kanan. And through the magic of technology.
Yeah.
Awesome. In regards to the second part, the stiffness, engineer and test driver Hiroyoshi Kato welded brace bars underneath the car while testing an R33 prototype at the Nürburgring to stiffen the car up. He's just like, this shit sucks.
It's time to get her done.
Nice. That one was good.
The R33's wheelbase was 4 inches longer and an inch wider than the previous gen. The bodywork was much smoother too, looking downright slippery in comparison to the R32's boxy appearance. I mean, you look at them next to each other.
It's definitely a bigger car. I'd say that the R33, like when I think of GTRs, obviously I think of R32, R33, mm-hmm. R34, which we'll talk about later. The R33, I think, is a little bit of the black sheep of the family. Mm-hmm. It's like a true middle child.
Yeah, absolutely. Like when you said, when I think of the GTR, I never think of the R33.
Yeah, although it's one of the coolest cars in the Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, and it's also one of the fastest GTRs that we'll get into that.
And they're legal to import to the United States this year.
Dude, that's awesome.
I know.
It turns out that this longer wheelbase was a great addition. The R33 was more stable at high speed, and the reworked aerodynamics reduced lift in the front by nearly half.
Whoa.
Which greatly increased the grip, which helped that understeer.
And you know when you, like, I've driven Jesse's car a couple times, and mm-hmm. you drove your buddy's Audi recently?
Yeah, Audi, yeah.
And
S4.
Like, you're like, yeah, all-wheel drive. Great. It's great. But then when you drive it, you, like, get it.
It's the...
Because you get the oversteer from the rear wheels,
yeah.
But then you feel this pull from the front, it's so fun.
It's really fun.
The more I drive all-wheel cars, the more that I get to, like, mm-hmm. it just becomes apparent that that's, like, the best.
It's ultimate.
It's the best way to power a car. The new GTR had a redesigned all-wheel drive system that could better split the torque between all four wheels, which solved the understeer problem as well. The rear wheel steering system was also upgraded with electric servos instead of hydraulic, which could be adjusted on the fly faster and more accurately than the old hydraulic high cast system. A lot of people think that the R33 is just a facelifted R32, but as we've learned,
not the case.
Not the case. Watanabe-san's team used the R32 GTR formula, but improved on it in every way. All said and done, the R33 was 20 seconds faster than the R32 around the Nürburgring, which is insane, at 7 minutes and 59 seconds, making it the first production car to officially break into the sevens.
That's, like, insane.
Yeah.
That's insane. Like, there's this scene in, what's the Niki Lauda movie?
Rush.
Yeah, there's a scene in Rush where Niki Lauda's saying, like, he doesn't want to race, and he's like, I'm the only person in here that's gone around the Nürburgring in 7 minutes. And that's like in an F1 car.
Yeah.
And, you know, now, like in the 90s, we started to see big, boxy cars that could theoretically fit 4 or 5 people in them going around in the same speed as a freaking F1 car.
Absolutely. It's pretty awesome. There were tons of special edition R33 GTRs, but not as many as there were special edition PT Cruisers.
Really?
Yeah. I think so, actually. That was a joke, but I think it's true.
Yeah, was there a Flames package for the R?
Can you imagine?
Where's the Brian Setzer GTR? That's what I want to know. There is a super limited edition Midnight Purple color option, supposedly named for that infamous Midnight Club, which we talked about a few episodes. All right, that was a while ago
that
now.
Was a long time ago.
Apparently a, you know what? I'm not going to say who this was, but you know.
Apparently a certain Nissan executive was a member of the club.
If you haven't listened to our Midnight Club episodes yet, they're pretty good. Go listen to those.
We're going
to
get sooch.
Then there was the Spec V, which offered even stiffer suspension and an active rear differential.
Get her done.
Oh, that locked under acceleration and opened up when off the gas, which made sharp turns a lot easier since the rear wheels weren't locked up. There's also the Le Mans or LM, which had its all-wheel drive system removed and a more powerful 400 horsepower engine put in. It also has really sick aero. They only made three of these things, two race cars to compete in GT1 racing and one road car, which now lives at Nissan headquarters. If you guys haven't seen a GTR LM, you guys.
Is that the goldish green?
I think it's the silver one. Oh wait, it's an R33. So,
well, that looks so
cool. Oh yeah, it's so freaking sick.
Gosh dang, dude. Get her done.
We'll get back to more Pass Gas, but right now, a word from our sponsors.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Confusingly, the next special edition was the Nissan LM Limited, which was not an LM. The LM Limited was built in celebration of Nissan entering the LM Edition cars at Le Mans.
Why?
So they're not the same. They're not an LM car. They're just built.
They're LM edition.
Hey, we entered those LM cars. Let's build a car to celebrate those LM cars and then call them Nismo LM.
We should probably celebrate ourselves more.
Hey, guys. So I know we're constantly trying to improve, but maybe sometimes we should take a little time and pat ourselves on the back for a job well done.
And then get back to work. The LM Limited had special blue paint, a carbon rear spoiler, cooling ducts, and some commemorative decals. They also made some V-Spec LM Limiteds, so those were the LM Limited cars with the V-Spec upgrades. But the coolest R33 of them all, boys, was the GTR 400R. R stood for racing. Instead of an RB26 like all the rest of the GTRs, this special edition had a custom RB bored and stroked out to make 400 horsepower. The 400R had a 0 to 60 time, Felipe, of 4 seconds, which, think about mid-90s car doing that. That's insane.
Yeah.
And a top speed of over 180 miles per hour.
Get her done.
And just to make it clear for our listeners, bored doesn't mean that they made a boring edition.
No,
I think that's a common misconception.
Yeah, a lot of people think that, oh, they bored it out. Oh, they made it more boring.
No, it's quite the opposite. Yeah. More often than not, boring a car out makes it less boring and more fun.
Nissan only made, or they planned on making 100 of these 400Rs, but they only ended up making 44 of them. So if you can get your hands on one, listener, dear listener, I suggest you do it. So yeah, like James, like you were saying, the R33 is a bit of a dark horse in the GTR line.
It's fine. I'm a middle child.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
as well. So me too. Yeah.
Do you have two sisters?
Mm-hmm.
Me too.
What the f***? We should work together. The middle child's always the funny one.
Yeah. Hmm.
So is the R33 GTR the funniest of the R33?
Funniest looking, maybe.
Damn. Are you the
I'm the oldest.
Yeah. Yes.
And I have two sisters, though, so like I can kind
of... We have two sisters, can, too.
Six sisters together.
Whoa. Yeah.
We just, for the listener, we just did a
Ram Chargers. Yeah.
Six sisters.
Dude, that's a sick name for like a metal band.
Six sisters.
Six sisters.
So
it's a dark horse.
Yeah, it was like a bigger car. It wasn't as popular as the R32, but it's still a great car. But Kozo Watanabe, he heard people's criticism. And heard they wanted more. So he's like, you know what? You want more? You're not satisfied with my freaking sick-ass car that I gave you guys? Well, I'll give you more.
And like Emeril Lagasse, bam! Yeah, get her done.
Bam! So that's what he'd do. He was going to give him more. The next GTR would be the culmination of everything they've learned since the R32. And it would be the perfect Skyline GTR. You know where we're going with this.
You guys, if you know anything about Skylines, then you know where we're going. If you don't know anything about Skylines, buckle up.
Buckle up. You're getting a bit bored.
At first, the team wanted a new engine to power the GTR, an aluminum block V6. But Nissan was going through a rough financial patch, surprise.
As always.
Yeah, and they didn't have the money to develop a new engine. So they just used the RB26DE double T again.
Nolan is working on an episode of his YouTube show. Joe actually wrote it, but in the 90s, at this time,
give the credit to Joe here.
Yeah, at this time, Nissan was losing about $1,000 on every car that they sold,
just in the U.S.
In the U.S. I mean, that's still just a staggering amount of money.
That's a bad business model.
Yeah,
horrible. Anyway. Like the leap from the R32 to the R33, a major development, or a major improvement rather, for the R34 was the aerodynamics. This car wasn't sleek like the last car. The R34 was a blocky boy with angular cuts and aggressive features, kind of like a stealth bomber. Like when we did the first episode of Bumper to Bumper, we did was... No, that wasn't the first episode, was it?
No, the first episode never aired.
That's right. And we're going to keep it a secret.
Yeah, never to be revealed.
The second episode of Bumper to Bumper we filmed was the R34. And in that episode, we talk a lot about the aero in the car because there's a lot of divots.
So much.
In front of like wheel arches that kind of divert air away from.
Like a golf ball?
Yes.
Dimples on a golf ball. It creates low pressure systems, so it sucks air out of places.
So you're basically drafting for yourself.
It's just all like it's. The car is optimized to get air around itself rather than punching through it. It's like, get air out of my way and like make
you
better.
Yeah, so you kind of are drafting yourself.
Whoa.
And it's crazy when you look at this car, if you're not familiar with it, go ahead and do a little Google. It is a big old square boy.
Yeah. It's,
and the fact that it is so aerodynamic is very surprising because it looks like a Maxima.
Yeah. So yeah, small divots on the fenders directed air around the front wheels, like James said, pulling warm air out of the engine bay and cool the brakes as much as 120 degrees.
Or 50 degrees Celsius for our international friends.
That's right.
If you're using the Queen's math.
That's right.
Get her done.
They say maths.
Things were a lot different under this new car too. Stiffness was increased by 56% and torsional rigidity was increased by 100.
Meaning, what?
Yeah. So like it was harder to twist it, you know.
Boing.
Meaning the R34 felt super solid, super responsive on the road. Under the hood, the turbo got a new ball bearing ceramic turbine, which decreased spool time and increased reliability. The R34's engine also had more aggressive camshafts for even...
My pal, baby!
Woo! Put that on a shirt. Oh, wait, we did. Get one at donut.media.com.
Damn, that's organic.
Donut.media.com. I don't even know. I feel like our website changes like every 4 months.
It has not changed ever.
Donut.media.
You can go to donut.media or you can go to donut.media.com.
All right. Well, great.
They both go the same place.
The new GTR was fitted with a 6-speed Getrag transmission. The all-wheel drive was better. The rear-wheel steering was better.
This is the car that... When Gran Turismo 4 came out, there was the blue Calsonic one in the game. And all of my friends were like, hey, that big boxy blue car is faster than all the other cars.
Yeah.
And we were like, what? Why? Yeah. Because it doesn't look fast.
I remember playing Gran Turismo 3 A spec for all my gamers out there. And there was that yellow Pennzoil GTR. Uh-huh. And same thing. It's like, how is this thing so freaking good?
Yeah. So we're like fortunate enough, thank God, because people watch our videos and listen to our podcast, that we get to be around these cars that we grew up just loving. And to be in the presence of this R34, I think more, maybe the Supra is equal, but it just feels like a thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, did you used to do those like endurance races?
Yeah. I mean, I believe the Pennzoil car ran at Le Mans.
No, I mean you in A-Spec.
Oh, no. Hell no. Those things take like hours.
I used to do this.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I would just like not want to go to sleep and then do a 12-hour race. And I did like enough of those. I had like 120 hours in the game. And then my chip malfunctioned.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Corrupt.
Nice. The R34 Special Editions added even more better stuff on top of that. There's the V-Spec, V-Spec N1, V-Spec 2, V-Spec 2 NER, V-Spec 2 N1, M-Spec, and N-Spec NER. Don't even get me started on all them race cars either. The R34 was the distillation of everything that made a GTR a GTR. While there weren't any earth-shattering changes between the 32, 33, and 34, they used the same engine and basically the same all-wheel drive system. It was all the small tweaks and improvements made by the engineers on top of those fundamental elements that makes the cars so different from each other. Their dominance on the road and the track, as well as their wide presence in pop culture, made them icons around the world. Everybody loves or knows someone that loves these lovely cars.
Go call those people right now and tell them that you love them and thank you for loving the GTR.
Yeah, and then tell them to subscribe to our podcast.
Yeah, tell them that. So, Nolan, this is a very special car. How do you follow it?
Well, I'll tell you, boys. In 2001, Nissan unveiled the GTR concept. Unlike previous GTR models, though, this car would not be a souped-up Skyline, but its own model entirely. The design team for this concept was led by Hiroshi Hasegawa, who had worked on the Silvia S13,
ooh,
the S14,
oh, yeah,
and the R34.
Nice.
This GTR would be different, not just aimed at sports car superiority, but at the supercar hierarchy itself. Nissan was coming for the crown, baby. The concept's square shape and broad wheel arches were penned to look like the shoulders of a samurai. The taillights were unmistakably GTR, you know, the iconic circles. And they're more like the R34 than... Yeah, like R34 taillights.
All of them have the two circles.
So. Yeah. And it had an open mouth in the front. The only major deviation was the headlights, which had a very modern and vertical look.
Very Z-like,
yeah,
I'd say. Totally. I think the GTR is a real... You look at it, and at first glance, you're like, this looks totally different than the other Skylines, because those are so like sedan-ish, and this one's a real fastback.
Yeah.
But then, like, you kind of blur your eyes, you look a little bit, and you're like, huh, I see it in the shoulders.
Huh.
Yeah.
We'll be right back with more of this story, but first, a word from our sponsors.
So the new GTR, or R35, hit the market in 2007.
And got her done!
And, yeah, 6 years after we saw the first concept, it was a supercar. Designed to be used anytime, anywhere, by anyone. No
it
longer.
Literally just like f***ed everybody up.
Yeah, because it was like a quarter the price of like Lamborghinis and Ferraris and was faster by every metric.
And now there's so many cars that have launch control, but when this car debuted, it was like one of the first, I believe.
It was a really good one.
And it was great too. So it just hooked.
Yeah. Got her done, dude.
The acceleration on these things still to this day is very neck cracking. Dude, the R35 GTR is like Arnold Schwarzenegger in True Lies, just snapping necks.
We all have seen his shoulders before.
Yeah, he's got the shoulders of a samurai.
How did they never make a samurai movie with Arnold? That's like such a such a slam dunk. It'd be so good.
That would be the best movie ever, dude.
He gets shipped over to Japan in a crate. Bust out of it.
I just want to see movies with buff guys, you know.
Yeah,
that's just my thing. You know, like there's nothing weird about
buff
that.
Buff guy movies are the best. Yeah.
Just like really sweaty and like just glistening.
I want to get a buff lawyer. Like, I don't care if he's good at law. I just want him to be like swole. Like,
ladies and gentlemen of the jury,
intentionally have him carry like a really small briefcase.
Yeah, just like slightly smaller though, so you don't like you're like, is it smaller?
Or is it just really big?
There's like a protein bar in it.
Yeah, there's only protein and like in it. And he like has. He's like, sorry, I'm bulking up. So he's like, just like eating steam.
What is wrong with the jury?
Yeah. I want him so big that his top button can't button, and that his tie is just like to his chest because his neck is so thick.
Does he have one of those like short sleeve suit jackets?
Well, yeah, it's like a tank top.
Yeah,
suit
one of those.
Jacket. Just swole.
No longer was the GTR powered by the RB26. It was time for something different.
Something new.
Yeah, the VR38 DETT is an all-aluminum twin-turbocharged V6.
It's a great motor.
That's right. Every engine is assembled by hand in a clean room, and only the most experienced Nissan mechanics are allowed to work in this building. There's only four dudes that build these motors with 100 years of experience between them.
And the coolest part about it is that every single one of those dudes, or every single engine that comes out, is signed by the guy who makes it.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
So shouts to Solid Nolan.
You're going to do it? Mm-hmm. Tsunami Oyama, Nobumitsu Gozu, Uzumi Shioya, and Takumi Kurosawa.
Those dudes that Nolan just named make every GTR engine that has been sold. So yeah, like every time you see a GTR on the street or on the internet, you know that one of those guys built the motor.
Yeah, they're responsible for creating Car YouTube by powering every GTR that had some bikini babe trying to reach a $100 bill during a launch. So
these are the guys that get her done, basically.
Damn basically, it. They do. They just get... Or done.
I'll count it. I'll allow it. The VR38 initially made 480 horsepower, which wasn't, I mean, it wasn't super powerful at the time because like cars like the Pagani Zonda and stuff were making like 700.
Yeah, but a Pagani Zonda is a $2 million
yeah,
car.
Exactly.
This thing, I think, was 60 when it came out?
No, I think it was like
80?
90? The VR38 was hooked up to an updated version of the Atezza all-wheel drive that prioritized rear grip this time around. The combination of great power.
What do you mean by rear grip? So not sliding it out?
Yeah.
You had me until you got to the bored out part.
The combination of awesome power and great all-wheel drive made the GTR one of the hardest launching cars in the world, achieving 0 to 60 in 3.2 seconds.
That's fast as for back then.
Yeah, it was faster than all the expensive competition. And the GTR wasn't just good at straight line performance either. The new R35 maybe understeered a little more than the R34, but when hooked around turns, even the normiest of observers can see that the GTR was hooked in the corners.
It was getting her done.
Man.
Man. I love jokes that my friends hate.
Yeah. It's like soul-crushing jokes.
God damn it, guys.
Stability was the name of the game with the R35. There's like these onboard sensors that are constantly monitoring what the car is doing, adjusting suspension like 1,000 times per second. Some people kind of say that it feels like the car is driving itself a little bit.
I like that.
Yeah, I mean.
Everyone complains about driver assistance and stuff. I can use all the help I can get.
So Nissan's goal was to make a supercar that anybody could drive, and you know, having a car that drives itself kind of achieved that. So well done, Nissan. Of course, there is some special editions and racing versions like the 2008 Nismo GT500, which was equipped with a V8 engine and manual transmission.
Oh, that's a get her done.
The car was so dominant that the Super GT League weighed the car down with a 100 kilogram ballast and it still ended up winning the 2008 championship.
Damn.
It was the first car to achieve a championship with a weight penalty in 10 years. The last team to do that was the Pennzoil team in 1998 behind the wheel of a bright yellow R34 GTR.
Dang, dude, making big bro proud.
So yeah, the Nissan GTR, probably one of the most, I mean, come on, who doesn't love a GTR?
It's definitely a bucket list car for literally everyone I know.
I want R30, like it's Dodge Viper,
mm-hmm.
and then I think R32 after that.
Really? You'd go R32?
I drove our friend Sean Lee's R32, mm-hmm. and it just felt so right, mm-hmm. you know? And of course, I don't think any of us have driven an R34.
No, I haven't driven one. I've sat one.
No.
Yeah.
I really like that R31 wagon.
Oh,
that
was yeah. Cool. Yeah.
R31's a rear-wheel drive, right?
Yeah, I think so. Interesting. That'd be cool to have one of those, too.
Yeah, those are really cool, like, so 80s.
Yeah, if, like, you're a real L.A. car clout god if you have one of those, for sure.
For sure.
Really sold it with that yawn.
I'm on a lot of blood thinners and some beta blockers, so I'm literally operating on a lower heart rate.
Whoa.
It's pretty cool. I'm pretty chill these days.
Oh, yeah.
You are. And your face isn't as red.
No, turns out, if you've ever seen our videos, you might have noticed that I used to sweat a lot and my face was really red. Turns out it's because my blood was boiling. My insides are trying to become my outsides. Oh, a lot of pressure in there. Wow. And now I feel like I look like I'm sick. But, like, I don't know. I just feel like...
No, you look good. At the streamies, I was like, holy shit. Like, you look so much better.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, so... if you, for some reason, don't watch our YouTube channel, check that out. We're on YouTube at Donut Media. Please give us a subscribe. You might like our videos.
If you like pictures of dudes hanging out around an office and a lot of times around cars, check us out on Instagram at Donut Media.
Yeah, follow Joe Weber at Dark Webinar on both Twitter and Instagram.
Follow Nolan on Twitter and Instagram at Nolan J. Sykes, S-Y-K-E-S.
Follow James Pumphrey at James Pumphrey.
On both those places as well.
Yeah.
We did a really good job that time.
That was fun.
Get her done. 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 Get her done.
Counts.
Thank you so much for listening and or watching. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.
I love you.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.